his might, leading the host of all of the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, clad in their brilliant array. Leaders exultingly say, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but to the true.
Father, we thank you so much for just allowing us to be in your house this evening, Lord God. We do pray that you please just bless every aspect of the service, the singing unto you. We pray that you please bless that. And please also be with Pastor Mejia, Lord God, as he preaches your word, that you would help us, Lord God, to also to understand it, Lord God, as we sit in the congregation, Lord God. Help us to be attentive, Lord God. And I pray that you please just again just bless our service now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Song number 136, Master, the Tempest is Raging. Song number 136. Song number 136. Sitting on that first.
Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave and the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grave today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. No winds and no waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Weather the wrath of the storm tossed sea, or demons or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the Master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Master, the terror is over, the elements freely rest. Her sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor, and rest on that blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossed sea, or demons or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the Master of ocean and earth and skies. They all sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still.
All right, great singing. Thank you for being here this evening. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 63. What a day that will be, song number 63 in your songbooks. Our services are as follows. Sunday morning is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., excuse me, and then our Thursday night Bible study is at 7 o'clock. We are going through the book of 2 Samuel, so hope to see you on Thursday evenings. You see the fall program schedule. Today was actually the last day, and so we're going to be having an apple cider fellowship after Sunday night service in the fellowship hall. Hope you stick around for a little bit, have some fellowship. And then, of course, you see the list of expecting mothers there at the left. Important reminders. Our annual Thanksgiving banquet is coming up on Tuesday, November 22nd, and that'll take the place of our midweek service, which is typically on Thursday. For that week, it'll be on Tuesday to give all the ladies and families time to prepare for Thanksgiving, okay? Obviously, you don't want to have your, you don't want to start making the turkey on Thursday. I mean, everything, from what I remember, has to get started like on Wednesday to prepare everything for Thursday. Am I right? Can I get some nods, ladies? Yes? Okay, cool. All right. If not, we could just do this on Thanksgiving. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. So we're going to have our Thanksgiving banquet on Tuesday. And so you're welcome to invite anybody you'd like, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. And if you have some friends or family that are not saved, bring them. They can get saved. We can give them the gospel. It'll be like a regular service. Difference being is that obviously it'll be themed. We're going to have the 1800s theme, and then we're going to have dinner and fellowship, so we're going to have a good time. Please make sure you RSVP on fwbcla.org, and of course you see the location there. If you don't know where that is, we've conveniently placed the QR code there on the bulletin for you to click on, and it'll give you directions to the location. Men's Prayer Night's coming up on Friday, November 25th. And then the homeschool field trip is on Tuesday, November 30th. And then you see the regular reminders there at the bottom. Please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. Let's go ahead and take some soul winning numbers from this past week. Salvations from Monday to Thursday. Any salvations from Monday to Thursday? Seven. Okay, anybody else? Friday and Saturday. Salvations for Friday and Saturday? Two. Okay, anybody else? And then this afternoon. Salvations for this afternoon? Two for Brother Marcos' team. Four for Brother Cody's team. Three for Brother Maury's team, one for Brother Glenn's team. Anybody else? Going once, twice, thrice. Okay. Keep up the great work on soul winning. Let's go ahead and sing our next song. Song number 63. I'll lead this one. Song number 63. What a day that will be. Song number 63. Of course, we'll sing both verses. Make sure you sing with all your might. There is coming a day. Sing it together. On that first verse. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. Strong on that second.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day.
Singing at this time, the ushers are going to take the offering, and go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 5.
Good evening. Tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 in the Bible reads, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharper as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers shall be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before mine eyes, before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the church you've given us, Lord, and thank you for the Bible you've given us, Lord, the King James Bible. And we thank you for Pastor, Lord. We pray that you bless him right now and give him boldness and fill him with the Spirit as he preaches your word, Lord. And I pray that you help us tonight to follow along with the sermon, Lord, and that we're edified by the sermon, Lord, and that we go away edified, Lord, and just bless this sermon in every aspect of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter number 5 this evening. Look down at your Bibles at verse 21. It says here in Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." And the title of my sermon this evening is "The Destructive Nature of Pornography." The destructive nature of pornography. And obviously a topic like this is very unsavory. It's very uncomfortable to talk about because of the fact that all of the factors that it's associated with will require for me to kind of be as discreet as I possibly can to describe what takes place when someone watches pornography. But I think this is an important sermon because of the fact that in the day and age in which we live, so many people have so much access to the internet, particularly young people, teenagers. And sometimes parents don't realize how destructive, you know, or how much a teenager is actually destroying his life, even destroying her life, believe it or not, by watching pornography. Or they think to themselves, well, not my child, not my teenager. They're not involved in those things. They're not involved in pornography. They're not watching those things on the internet. But, you know, you better make sure that that's true. And you better do everything you possibly can in your power as a parent to make sure that you're setting up safeguards and standards in your home so that your children, teenagers, are not being tempted to watch something they're not supposed to watch, or that the internet pops something up and defiles their mind and creates within them an appetite for those types of things, for that type of entertainment, so-called, okay? And another reason I want to preach this is because of the fact that, honestly, so many people watch pornography today, and unfortunately, even in Christendom, that a lot of young people have justified the act of watching pornography. And even amongst Christians, they think, well, you know, everyone's going to do it. It's all over the place. Every once in a while, I'll tune in. Every once in a while, I'll watch it. It's nothing bad. You know, at least I'm not out there sleeping with a lot of women, or not out there fornicating. I'm not out there committing some wicked adulterous sin. So therefore, it's justifiable for me to do this. But that's actually not true. You know, watching pornography, according to the Bible, is still wicked. It's considered lust. And in fact, the Bible specifically says that you need to learn how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And that includes making sure that you are watching what you're watching, right? You're careful of what you're allowing your eyes to see. You know, David said, "I shall set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me." Okay? And we as Christians, regardless of what year we're in, I understand we have social media. Internet is very much accessible. We need to make sure that we're constantly fighting this as parents, constantly fighting this as men, and making sure we don't just make excuses to say, well, it's all over the place, so I'm just going to go ahead and watch it. And, you know, it's not harming anybody. I'm only doing it by myself. No one knows that I'm doing it. No, you're destroying yourself. You're destroying yourself. And the Bible says here that your iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and you're going to be holding with the cords of your sin. What does that mean? You know, the fact that you're holding with the cords of your sin is basically implying that it's going to hinder you in the long run. It's going to hold you back from being a good Christian. It's going to hold you back from being a good husband. It's going to hold you back from being a good father. It's going to hold you back from being a good employee. It's going to hold you back from being just a functioning member of society. Okay? You shall be holden with the cords of your sin. And guess what? You will die without instruction. And in the greatness of your folly, you will go astray. You say, well, you know, I don't believe that. You know, I'm still in church. Well, the very fact that you would have an attitude that it's okay to watch pornography, it's okay to watch these things and still serve God, you obviously have a misconstrued conception of what it is to serve God. And you're obviously living a double life. You are being a hypocrite. We need to make sure that we keep on the forefront of our minds that moral impurity is still sinful in the eyes of God. Watching these things is sinful in the eyes of God. And you basically need to have victory over these things, okay? Amen. And I hate to even use terms like that, phrases like that, because that's associated at times with, you know, churches that don't really know how to help people overcome those particular sins. But let me just say this, is that if you've already opened that door to watching pornography, watching that filth, and you've created an appetite, you know, that door's already open. And that's not to say that you have to continue in that sin and you're just hopeless. But what it does mean is that that temptation will always be there in your life now. From here on out, that temptation is always going to be present. So what you have to do is make sure you set up some safeguards. And from here on out, live a life of purity, a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And, you know, often we think of pornography as like, well, that's something that men struggle with. But you know what? Now it's like women struggle with porn. There are women out there who literally struggle with watching pornography. And they get involved in those things as well. So this is applicable all across the board. Go to chapter number 6, if you would. Chapter 6. Now, parents, let me just make this disclaimer, is that I'm not going to be using, you know, language that will defile the minds of your children tonight or anything like that. But it's at your discretion for you to explain to your children some of the terms, if you'd like, some of the terms that I'm going to describe today. You may just say, hey, don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you're older or whatever. But I do need to describe some things, not in an inappropriate way. I'm going to be discreet about it in order to help people understand the effects of pornography, okay, the destructive nature of it. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of things in the Christian life that can just destroy you. Not things that are godly, obviously. I'm talking about sinful things, covetousness, you know, drunkenness, okay, railing. Envy. These things can destroy your life, but let me just say this, is that lust can be put at the top of that list as well, okay? And I'm going to go through the three areas that it destroys, but look at chapter 6 and verse number 30. It says here, men do not despise the thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but if he is found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Listen to this. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Now, obviously, this is referring to the physical act of adultery, but it can be applied to this matter of pornography, because pornography also can destroy your soul, okay? And the point that I want to get across this evening is that parents, young men, young ladies, do not take this sin lightly, you know? And sometimes, because in the day and age in which we live, people can become desensitized to the consequences of this particular sin because it's so rampant on the internet. It's all over social media. You know, social media gives it to you in doses that will desensitize you to the effects of sin. And then it can cause people to just try to justify it in their personal lives. But we need to call sin a sin. We need to make sure that we call this wicked. We need to recognize that it's destructive and it can hinder your Christian walk. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 31, go with me if you would to Romans chapter number 6. Job 31, Job says this in verse number 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And I want you to think about that phrase there, is the fact that he said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And obviously he's referring to this matter of lust. And the point that he's trying to get across here, how we can apply it, is the fact that, you know, what you watch obviously determines how you think. The things that you're watching, the things that you're listening to, will not only determine your type of behavior, but it'll also determine how you think, my friends. And so if you think to yourself, well, you know, I've had so many of these perverse thoughts in my mind, I struggle with lust, I struggle with watching this stuff, well, part of it is just what you're watching. If you can just remove temptation from your life, remove those things that are causing you to be tempted, you can change the way you think. A lot of people struggle with pornography because of the fact that they don't set up safeguards their intentions are right in the sense of they want to be right with God. They want to read the Bible. They want to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but they don't know how to remove temptation. And when they don't remove temptation, they have this dichotomy of just, oh man, I feel guilty, but you know, for not serving God or committing this sin, but it's just like they keep going back because of the fact that they're not setting up safeguards in their life to protect them from that temptation. And obviously that principle can apply to all types of sins, right? But in general, what we're referring to this evening is this matter of pornography. Make a covenant with your eyes. Be a man, be a woman of character to say, you know, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before mine eyes. I know where the wicked things are, and I need to make sure that I stay away from temptation so that when I am tempted, I'm not going to cross the line into something that would be displeasing to the Lord and cause me to destroy my own soul. Look at Romans 6 and verse number 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let me ask you a question. Is your body ruling you, or are you ruling your body? You know, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Let's by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's what the Bible says. And God expects for us as Christians to subject the flesh, regardless of what desires it has, and bring it into subjection, and not just give in to every desire, every lust, every covetous thought that we have. Okay, he says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We obviously understand that lust has existed since the beginning of time. But again, with the age of the internet, it's so readily accessible, and you know, sin has permeated society because of the internet. Okay. And I remember, you know, being in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and it was just like the pastor would preach, like, you know, don't have a computer in your kid's room, keep it in the living room. But here's the thing, is that now everyone has a computer in their pocket. I mean, your phone is a computer. We don't need this box, you know, this massive box or whatever. Now it's just like you can do all your work on an actual cell phone and have access to all types of things on your cell phone. So now that, you say, well, what do we do now? Is it just hopeless? Now we got to set up even greater precautions, even stronger guidelines and standards so as to protect us from the wicked one and not tempt ourselves in whatever area. And obviously, you know, you might be a person who's like, well, I've never opened that door. You know, I've never watched pornography. I've never opened that door. But, you know, you might be a covetous person where you just like to spend money and buy a bunch of stuff. And you know what? The phone can be used for that, too, because the phone always has advertisements. Yep. And it appeals to the lust of the eyes to purchase things. But more often than not, it's the matter of lust in regards to sexual immorality. That's where the phone is tempting individuals today. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What's the goal tonight? The goal is to remind us that we need to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. Not dishonorably by delving into pornography. Not dishonorably by following Instagram accounts that have, you know, scantily clad women dressed, whorish women on the internet. Not, you know, possessing our vessels in such a way that we just allow anything through our eye gate and our ear gate. We're making sure that we're being vigilant, right? That we're paying attention because we have an enemy, an adversary, Satan, who's like a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And let me just say this. I guarantee you there's people in this building today that are being devoured weekly by pornography. I guarantee that, okay? And it's a common struggle amongst young people. It's a common struggle amongst Christians, okay? And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let's go ahead and get into the crux of the sermon here. Go with me, if you would, go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. The title of the sermon is The Destructive Nature of Pornography. What does pornography destroy? Well, the Bible talks about how we're mind, body, and spirit, right? And obviously we know that when we get saved, our spirit is regenerated. And the Bible tells us that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And what it's referring to is the fact that our spirit is born of God. You understand? Our spirit, not this flesh, but our spirit is sinless. It does not commit sin. It cannot commit sin. It is completely perfect. It is glorified. You understand? The flesh is not. And so pornography can't destroy the spirit. You understand? You're like, all right, great. That's all I needed to hear. Well, no, but you can vex the spirit, though. You can vex the spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because guess what? Your spirit is not the only one that dwells within you. The Holy Spirit also dwells within you. Okay? And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And every time you click on that image, every time you watch that video, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You are forcing the God in you to participate in that viewing of that thing, because he dwells within your temple. You understand? And he's grieved by the fact that you would allow yourself to watch that. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with their overthrow, making them an ensamples unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot," listen to this, "vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, this is specifically referring to sodomy, but this can be applied to pornography as well. Because guess what? There's sodomy and pornography as well. And you know why a lot of people are so desensitized to sodomy today? It's because of pornography. Because the way a society introduces sodomy is by introducing lesbianism first. Because lesbianism is far more readily acceptable in society before males are. Male sodomites are, believe it or not. They introduce lesbianism first, and then they go into male sodomy. And in fact, that's exactly how it's laid out in Romans chapter number 1. Women first, and then the men, okay? But it can vex your righteous soul from day to day. Now, what is the main thing that that does to your spirit? Well, number one is that it can stifle your walk with God. And you know what? For anybody who actually loves the Lord and is walking with God, that means something to them. You know, you wonder why when you read the Bible, you can't get anything out of it. You wonder why when you crack open the Word of God and you read it, you can't get anything out of it. You feel like you're not being fed. You're not content with your Christian life. It's probably because you're watching pornography. You watch pornography and then you crack open your Bible to help, you know, you alleviate your guilty conscience of whatever you're watching, but then you don't get anything out of the Bible because you just vex your righteous soul for however long time. You understand? This can destroy your walk with God. It can stifle your Bible reading. It can stifle your prayer life, and it can even distort your view of God. Okay? It can destroy your view of God. You say, well, how is that? How can it destroy my view of God? Well, because people who watch pornography are constantly feeling guilty. Constantly feeling guilty, constantly feeling ashamed, constantly feeling guilty. And they always think like God's just going to strike them down at any minute. And by the way, it's good that they think that. And I would hope that that person who thinks that decides to repent of that sin and get right with God and stop watching pornography. You understand? But you know what happens is judgment does not come. They continue in that sin. And then they have this distorted view of God. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to impose that judgment upon others. They begin to overcompensate, you know, for their sin and what they do, and they begin to impose excessive judgments upon others. Why? Because of their own guilt. You understand? So this stifles your walk with God. And I think one of the main things that it does in your walk with God is that it robs you of your joy. Okay? The Bible tells us in Psalm 51 and verse 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, obviously this is David speaking. It's a psalm of repentance after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he says here, he's making this admission that his sin robbed him of his joy, of his salvation. And you know, people who are involved in porn, and look, I know what I'm speaking on tonight is very uncomfortable. And I know this is a very uncomfortable subject, and people are making faces like, oh man, what is he going to say? But this is necessary, okay? And so you better start giving me some more amens and stop being so quiet about it. All right? You know, this is legitimately an important issue. And, you know, if this is something that you struggle with, then, you know, get it right tonight. And you know what? This is God's sign to you to get it right tonight. You know, you're probably thinking about this yesterday. It's like, man, when am I ever going to stop this? Well, you know, tonight might just be the night that you just stop watching pornography and get right with God. And this is probably God's warning to you to put it away from you. Be sure your sin will find you out. I know it's uncomfortable, but you know what? It's necessary. And the silence in the room is telling me so, okay? Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. When someone is involved in any type of immoral sin, any sin in general, but specifically moral sin, you know, they lose the joy of their salvation. They lose the joy of being a Christian, and they have a hard time just enjoying the small things in life. You know, as a Christian, one of the great things about being a Christian and getting and being saved is the fact that you can get joy for just pretty much anything. I'm talking about like the smallest of things. Like, I'm super excited about the Apple Cider Fellowship. I'm thrilled. Why are you laughing? It's true. You know, I'm happy about that. You know, I get a kick out of the small things in life. You understand? Because that's what the Christian life provides. It provides joy in conversation. It provides joy in fellowship with others. It provides joy in just your walk with God. Why? Because there's a certain level of joy that comes with a clear conscience. Knowing that you're right with God. You understand? But sin robs you of that joy. Because when you are committing that sin, you think to yourself, oh man, when am I going to be found out? Does someone know about this? Who told Pastor Mejia about this thing? You know, you're constantly living in this fear. And you know what the Bible says? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. When a person is righteous and living righteously, they don't have anything to hide. So they can just live life, enjoy the apple cider, enjoy the cake, enjoy the small things in life, and actually have joy. But pornography robs you of that joy. It distorts your walk with God. It can stifle your walk with God. And let me just say this, you know, when you read the Bible, God doesn't just want us to read the Word of God and just get the content. You know what I mean? Like, He actually wants us to read with some emotion. And it's a living book. The Word of God is quick and powerful. If you're reading the Word of God and you're just like not getting anything because your mind is elsewhere, you know, that kind of shows you that you're vexing your righteous soul from day to day. Because, you know, we delight in the law of God after the inward man. Amen. The inward man loves reading the Bible. The inward man loves hearing preaching. The inward man loves Bible content. But moral sin, fornication, pornography, these things can rob you of that joy. And you wonder why you can't enjoy preaching. You're like in church, it's just like, I'm just not enjoying this. Well, it's probably because you built up a wicked appetite where that's all you're thinking about. You know, you need to rebuild the godly appetites once again, okay? What else does it do? It produces guilt that leads to paranoia that can lead to overcompensating. And this is fact. You can look this up as far as what it does to a person when they watch pornography or they have the habit of watching pornography. It produces guilt, obviously. And this is, I mean, it produces guilt in a person who's not saved. How much more in a person that is saved when they have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them? But it leads to paranoia. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people are very antisocial today. Okay? They're antisocial because they think they're just always going to be found out for that grievous sin that they're committing. And, you know, and so what they do is the next step is they begin to overcompensate. We would say they become hyper-spiritual, right? What is it when you become hyper-spiritual? It's like you're caking on the spirituality so as to deter attention from someone potentially finding out what you're doing. Which, by the way, no one here is a mind reader. It's not like, I know what you're doing. You know, it's just like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a really ridiculous example of this, okay? Years ago, there's this guy at this church. He's a bozo. He's a weirdo. He's actually the guy who got an argument with David about the post-trib. If you guys remember that story I told about pre-trib and post-trib. There's a mechanic who came to the church. The guy's not saved. But he's just a friend of some of the people in the church. And he was coming to help someone with their vehicle, just to kind of, you know, their car's broken down or something. And the guy's not saved. And, you know, the people at the church were trying to be like a good testimony to him, just be a blessing to him, talk to him. Well, this guy walks up to him and says, I know you're involved in pornography. God told me this. And the guy's like, what? He's like, yeah, I know you. Why don't you just admit it? And the guy's like, dude, you don't know me. Get out of my face. Like, how? The guy never even met him in his life. And then all of a sudden he just comes up to me and is like, the spirit told me you have a lust spirit or something and you're involved in pornography. But let me just tell you what that person is probably doing. He's probably projecting what he is. Because of the fact that people who are involved in this particular sin have so much guilt that it leads them to paranoia, which leads to overcompensating. They overcompensate to deter attention from themselves. They hyper-spiritualize everything. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Folks, you don't have to tell anybody you're spiritual. You don't have to talk about how much soul winning you do. You don't have to tell me how much Bible you read. I just know by just talking to you if you do any of that. That's just the bottom line. You never have to bring your credentials to another person when you're talking to them, right? You never have to talk about how great your soul winning plan is and how you just hate sin so bad. You hate sodomites so bad. You just love God. You don't have to. People just know that about you. When you have to say it, you're overcompensating. And that's just showing me that you're probably hiding something. Okay? It's just like the smoke and mirrors. Just like, oh, nothing to see here. Just look at my hyper-spirituality. But they're actually covering up for something else. Okay? I despise hyper-spirituality a lot. It's hypocritical. It's pharisaical. You know, don't tell me how much soul winning you do. Don't tell me how much you love. Everyone here loves soul winning. Right, yeah. You don't have to tell me how much you love it. Okay? You don't have to tell me, you know, you don't have to explain to me and tell me how much you do it and how down-packed you got your system or whatever. People who do that are often paranoid because they think that someone's going to, you know, discover them for who they really are or whatever. And so they begin to overcompensate by doing those things, becoming hyper-spiritual. Whereas, you know, when you have a clear conscience, you're just yourself. You know what I mean? It's just like for example, I'll give you a perfect example, okay? Sundays, I don't go soul winning because I preach. But sometimes people ask me if I go soul winning, I'll tell them no, and they'll just kind of like, oh. But here's the thing, like, I have no fear in telling you that I don't go soul winning on Sunday. And I'm just like, nah, I'm too tired. I got to prepare my sermons and stuff. Because I'm not guilty. I have zero guilt about it because I go soul winning other days. This is not my day where I go. This is the day where basically the entire church goes. But this is not the day I go. And people are like, oh. Oh, you don't do? No, I don't. I got to go eat, man. I just preached a sermon. I got to go eat. I got things to do. You know? But there's not a guilty bone in my body because I have nothing to hide. You understand? And when people try to guilt trip you into because of something that you don't do or something that's spiritual, you know, obviously they're hiding something. I'm not talking about messing around. I'm talking about when they actually try to guilt trip you into doing something that they think you're supposed to be doing or something. Like, oh, why aren't you going to go soul winning with us? Oh, okay, I see. That's called hyper-spirituality. Who are the ones that are guilty of this? The Pharisees. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint, anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. When you have a clear conscience, you can just be yourself. Because you have nothing to hide. You can just be yourself. You can answer plainly. You know, someone who is deceptive has to keep track of all their deception. They have to keep track of all their deceptive statements because they don't want to slip up later on. But if you're just an honest person, you can just speak honestly. And I have to worry about, oh, man, you know, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, right? And so, you know, what does this destroy? What does pornography destroy? It destroys your walk with God, first and foremost, which is the most important thing. Your walk with God, your ability to not only read the Bible, but actually enjoy your Bible, you know, to actually come to church and enjoy the preaching of God's word, to actually enjoy the joy of being a Christian, and enjoy the small things in life. you know, kids getting pumpkins, eating a slice of cake. Oh, why we gotta go to the Thanksgiving 1800s? I don't know. Because I like dressing up, you know. Because, you know, I got a hat, bro. I bought the whole outfit. I want a gun right here, and I want to look like Doc Holliday, okay? That's why. Like, why do we got to do all this stuff, you know? Can we just read the Bible for hours on end and pray for it? No, we can't. I'd get tired of that. Can't read the Bible for hours on end. Maybe every once in a while, if you're doing like a little marathon by yourself, but this is not something you do every single day, my friends. Normal Christianity is moderation. Amen. And let your moderation be known unto all men. Notice it doesn't say let your excessiveness be made known unto all men. Because then if you're excessive, then there's an issue. Just be a real person. Just be a real Christian and just say, yeah, I read a couple chapters today. I'm working on building it up some more, but, you know, laziness gets me, you know, and I'm trying to work my way, and, you know. But when you're overcompensating, it's an indicator that you are trying to hide something. But what I'm talking about in context, because I'm not saying that every person who does that is involved in pornography. I'm just saying in context of pornography, people who watch pornography do that. Okay. What else does it destroy? What passage are you in right now? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter. Actually, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm just going to be real practical and frank this evening. So it destroys your, it doesn't destroy your spirit, but it does vex your righteous spirit. Because the Christian life is meant to be lived guilt-free. Amen. You understand? Like God sent His Son Jesus Christ to remove the penalty of sin so we don't have to bear the load of sin. You understand? We confess our sins daily. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what God also expects for us to do is to forsake that sin as well if we want to obtain mercy. And it's not healthy spiritually to just allow yourself to continue in this sin and then you're just constantly guilty, constantly worried, constantly paranoid. It's not spiritually healthy. It's not mentally healthy either. So it vexes your righteous spirit. But number two, it actually destroys your mind. Watching pornography can destroy your mind. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what that means? God wants you to be clean up here. So not just clean here. Not just put on a suit and a tie, and you got your King James Bible, and you're in church. He wants you to be clean up here as well. He wants you to be clean in here as well. Amen. The inner recesses of the heart, the areas where God can see, He wants you to be clean. He wants it to be blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but striving to be blameless and above reproach in God's eyes. And let me just say this, is that when people are involved in pornography, it actually destroys their ability, listen to this, to just have healthy, normal relationships. We're not even talking about boyfriend and girlfriend. I'll get to that later. I'm just talking about normal friendships. People actually have, when people are involved in pornography, they have a hard time actually communing with others. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there is something wrong with that because we're Christians. Yeah. And this is a church, and although we're not for calling it a fellowship, it's basically what it is. It's a fellowship of believers where people come and they yap their heads off one to another. It's what you're supposed to do, okay? And, you know, obviously there's people who are just shy, they're introverts, nothing wrong with that. But again, in context, I'm referring to what pornography does to a person. It actually defiles their relationships with other people. They can't make friends. They can't interact with other people. Okay, let me read this to you. I got this from a website referring to the effects of pornography. It says, "Watching porn in most cases demands isolation. Anything that consumers do in secrecy usually leads to shame. One of the first effects of frequently watching porn for men and women, especially those who are young, can be social awkwardness in public, which ironically leads to more shame and hiding. Isolation and shame can make it difficult to share true intimacy with others, and it makes it difficult to truly grow and mature as a person and reach our full potential as people. And this is true, my friends. You know, you come to church, you should come to church to make some friends. Amen. And speak freely to anybody here in church, whether male or female. And it's just like, well, I want to speak to the males, but none of the ladies, you know what I mean? Because I got this really high standard. What? Why? That's weird. Why could you? It's just like, I don't want to talk to your wife because I don't want people to think anything weird. Why would you think that anybody would think, well, that's weird? It's weird that you think that that's weird. I talk to all kinds of wives in our church. And I could literally sit down and have a conversation with one of the wives in our church and have that person, not that person or me or anybody in the church, think anything weird about it. Because we're just having, listen to this, a conversation. Yeah, but you know, I don't want people to think it's inappropriate. Why would people think it's inappropriate? Human beings speak. They open their mouths and they talk one to another. This is life, my friends. This is a church. And this is what pornography does. It hinders people from having true intimacy with others. You say, well, what do you mean by intimacy? Intimacy just means a good relationship with someone. There's people in our church that I'm close to. That's what intimacy is. I'm close to certain people in our church. You know what I mean? I'm close friends with them, and I love them, and my heart is knit to the people in our church. You know, I love them. I care for them. I grow excited when I see them at church. You know, I feel like you come to church and you see someone, and your heart starts beating a little faster because it's just like, this is a person whom I love. I enjoy seeing these people. These are God's people. You say, well, that's weird. What do you mean your heart's beating? Like, it means I'm just excited to see the people in our church. That's all it means. But you know what? Getting involved in this habit distorts that aspect of your life. Because the Bible tells us in Psalms 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. One of the great joys of the Christian life is Christian friends. It's awesome. It's one of the things that I enjoy the most, other than preaching God's word on Sunday and Thursdays. One of the things that I just greatly enjoy is just being in communion with God's people. Amen. Just talking and laughing. Yes, I said that, laughing. And seeing people, patting them, giving them a shoulder hug, you know, obviously to the males, but just giving them a shoulder hug, a handshake, fellowshipping, looking at them in the eyes and just communing with them. That's some of the greatest joys of the Christian life is just that. But you know what? Pornography robs you of that. Because it causes you to think, oh man, you know, what if people think something inappropriate? You're the only one thinking something inappropriate with that. Because pornography has destroyed your mind. Okay? You should be willing to be able to go and just chat with anybody in our church and just have a normal conversation and just hang out. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Look what it says in verse 2. The elder women as mothers, and the younger sisters with all purity. What was I saying? This is the kind of relationship we should have. Obviously, there needs to be appropriateness when we talk to the opposite sex. But here's the thing is that, you know, the Bible tells us that we can still commune with them as sisters, because they're our sisters in Christ. Right. With all purity. But you know what pornography does? It robs you of that perspective. You know, I don't want to talk to you today because I don't want them to think that I'm involved in something really wicked. Pornography has done that to you, if that's what you're thinking. Because no one thinks that, okay? And God expects for his people at his church to just get along with one another, to speak to one another, to talk and commune with one another, and get out of your cliques too. You know, get out of your cliques and actually go talk to some of the adults. But let me just say that some of you young people need to just forsake one another for like a season and go hang out with some married men and just learn how to actually have a conversation with the man who has like 5 kids or something. Go talk to Albert for a while. He has like 12 different things to talk to you about. Go talk to someone else. Okay. You know, get out of your little clique, your little gang, your little mafia you got going on there. And go, you're like, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't know anybody. Then go meet someone. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to talk to them about. Well, first, you can ask them what their name is. since you don't know who they are. They say, you know what? I've been coming here for months and I never got your name. What's your name? And once you get their name, just walk away. No, I'm just kidding. You know, just like, oh, nice to meet you. I'm not saying be a social butterfly. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're a social, because you know, you got some social, I consider myself like a social butterfly. I could just like, thanks for the Maury. You know, I could just pretty much talk to anybody. I have no problem talking to people. But you know, I know some introverts in our church that have no problem going to other people in the church and talking. And they may not have a whole lot to say, right? But they can commune with others because they just enjoy fellowshipping. Amen. Okay? But pornography can rob you of that, right? And you may think to yourself, well, I don't need fellowship. Yes, you do. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, church normalizes people. Amen. It turns weird people into normal people. That's right. So, you know, when you're here, you better take inventory of yourself, like, am I still weird? If it is, it's because you're not putting into practice these little simple principles of just communing with one another. Right. Okay. What's another thing that it destroys in your mind? Well, it destroys your ability to have good relationships, good friendships with people in church, with just people in life. But it also creates an unrealistic expectation in marriage. Okay. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 5. And then we'll go to chapter 27. Go to Proverbs chapter 5 first, and then we'll go to chapter 27. Let me say this. Obviously, pornography is real, but what it's communicating is false. It's not real. It's fake. Okay? Everything that pornography seeks to impose upon you to make you think how a physical relationship is between a man and a woman, it's fake. It's all fake. It's a fantasy. It doesn't exist in the real world. And when you allow yourself to just delve into pornography and watch that filth and just watch it over and over again, what it does, it creates an unrealistic expectation of what you want in marriage. Now, let me just say this, okay? Because, you know, in times past, young people wouldn't make an excuse as to why they could watch pornography. They'd be ashamed of watching pornography and would want victory over it. But now, because of the internet, because of social media, because of the unsaved having such a great influence on saved people now, you have Christians who will say, you know, I think it's okay to watch pornography. I'm just going to watch it until I get married. And once I get married, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to satiate this desire, and I'm going to satiate, you know, this lust, so that, you know, I don't come out and commit fornication physically. I'm just going to watch pornography until I get married, and I can control it up until then, and that's what I'm going to do, and it's not wicked. But that's such a stupid way of thinking. And let me say this. If that's you, if you even get married, let me just say that. You're going to destroy your marriage. You're going to destroy your wife. Like, no, because I'm going to stop watching pornography. Yeah, obviously, like the heroin addict can just stop overnight, right? Because, by the way, that's exactly how it is. Pornography is like a drug. It's like a drug that releases all these chemicals in your brain and creates all these, you know, these chemical reactions in your brain that causes you to come back for more and more. But it creates this unrealistic expectation because you're looking at these fake women doing whatever. And then you expect that out of your marriage. So you can't enjoy just the regular physical relationship with your spouse because you've allowed your mind to just soak in the worst filth out there of things that are just not real. And you will destroy your marriage like that. It's not like, well, as soon as I get married, now I can have that physical relationship and now I don't need pornography ever again. Well, actually, you're probably going to keep watching pornography. One. Number two, you're not going to be satisfied with your spouse anymore. How do you know that? Well, because of the fact that the eyes of a man, the Bible says, are never full. Look at Proverbs 5:15. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. This is referring to the physical relationship between a man and a woman, a married couple. Running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and listen to this, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. What is he saying? Enjoy your wife. God has created marriage, the institution of marriage, so that you can enjoy that physical relationship for the rest of your lives. You can do that physical act as much as you want in marriage, and guess what? Enjoy it every single time. And in fact, he commands that. He says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Go wild with your wife. This is your spouse. That's okay to do. But what pornography does is it distorts what that physical relationship is to the point where you cannot rejoice with the wife of your youth. You're discontent with your wife. It says in verse 19, let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love. What does it mean when it says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times? It's referring to the embrace of your spouse. Because when you embrace someone, their breasts, your breasts and their breasts are pressing together. You're embracing that person. And it's saying you should be happy with just like hugging your wife. And let me just be very careful here, okay? I'm going to try to be as discreet as I possibly can. You know, God has created us in such a way that it doesn't take much for us to get excited when we're with our spouse. That's how he's created us. Even an embrace should do so. And that's where I'm going to leave it. You understand that, okay? But you know what pornography does? It makes it so that you're not even satisfied with even that. You're like, get excited over just a hug? Yeah. I know that's weird to you because of all that filth that you put in your mind. But you know what? Embracing your wife is actually good stuff.
Yeah, man.
That's right. I actually enjoy hugging my wife. Yes. You say, why? Oh, because I find my wife attractive? Because she's a girl? She's a woman? I mean, but you know what? But here's the thing. People who are just addicted to pornography, they just can't understand that. It's just like, I don't get that. How? How can that be? Because you fried that part of your brain that can enjoy even the simplest things in life. Okay? He says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. I mean, we're talking about romance here. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? It's like, why would you even try to become happy or joyful or ravished with some strange woman? And that's exactly what you're watching, is a bunch of strange women who are probably sodomites, by the way. You hate sodomites so much, then you should probably start watching pornography. Oh, man, I hate sodomites so much. Then why are you watching pornography then? Because that stuff is filled with sodomites.
Yep.
Well, not those sodomites. Weird. Now, in the beginning I said, you know, hopefully after the sermon you'll just stop watching. But hopefully after that statement you're just like, quitting pornography for the rest of my life. Because that's what you're watching. You're watching sodomites. It creates a desire. Go to Proverbs 27, verse 20. A quarter of the verse, but let's take a look at it. Pornography also creates a desire that can never be fulfilled. Can never be fulfilled. That desire can be fulfilled in marriage over and over again throughout your lifetime when you're married. But pornography creates a desire that can never be fulfilled. And that's why a lot of the statistics show that when a person watches pornography, they have to watch crazier things to get excited. And then people start getting into violent pornography. You know, getting into just a lot of filth. Because of the fact that that dopamine spike doesn't hit watching that same old pornography that you would watch, so now you got to go into crazier things. You understand? And I'm trying to be discreet here. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 20. It says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Like, well, I'll just do it this one last time. You will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied with pornography, but you can be satisfied in marriage. Because that's what God has instituted. That's what he's created. But not with pornography. It'll create that desire. And it'll impair your ability to just enjoy the basics of marriage. Okay? Go to Titus chapter 1 if you would. Go to Titus chapter number 1. Let me say this is that, you know, another reason aside from the fact that there's sodomites in pornography. Here's another one. There's people who have been kidnapped for this, for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just let you know, every time you watch pornography, you're supporting sex traffickers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just remember that. Some young girl who was taken from her home and raised by these filthy perverts who should be put to death.
Yeah.
to performing in these videos. And when you watch it, you're supporting that filth. Yep. Just remember that. So it creates a desire that can never be fulfilled, but also it can pervert their judgment. Okay? Look at Titus 1 verse 15. It says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." Now, obviously, in context, this is talking about reprobates. But we can make a secondary application because of the fact that a person who watches pornography, they see everything through the lens of just perversion. Like, I say a word from the pulpit, and it starts giggling. Why? Because they, in their minds, they view everything through that perverted lens. Someone can't make a comment, they can't make a statement, they can't do something without someone thinking a perverted thought about that. Because they view everything through a perverted lens because they've been watching pornography. They see filth and perversion everywhere. Their mind and their conscience is perverted. They're not pure in their minds. Okay? You see, the goal of a Christian is just to speak freely. Speak freely. Use whatever illustrations, obviously be appropriate, and not have people just interpret what you're saying or what you're doing in a perverted kind of a way. But people who watch pornography, their judgment is very perverted. It's twisted. Because they've conditioned their mind to think that way. They hear a word, triggers something in their mind. They hear a statement, it triggers that in their mind. They see a specific, an image, it triggers something in their mind. Okay? And here's the last thing, and then I'm going to get into how to regain, how to actually have victory over pornography. Let me say this last thing here, is that obviously it can vex your spirit, it can destroy your mind, but let me say this, it can actually also destroy your body. Pornography can actually destroy your body. Say, how so? Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 11. It says, "Thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." Let me give you a couple things here that I got from that same site. Pornography destroys the brain's reward system. You can no longer get joy or happiness in ways people normally do. Through relationships, nature, accomplishments. And let me say this. Typically, people who watch pornography are not people of character. They have zero character, zero work ethic. They might display that they do because they're trying to overcompensate. But more often than not, people who watch pornography have little to no resistance. And if they have little to no resistance, it means they have no discipline in their life. They have no character. But it destroys the brain's reward system so they can't enjoy, like I mentioned, relationships. They can't enjoy just regular accomplishments. Now, they said nature, but I don't really enjoy nature, though. I'll just be honest. I know some of you might. I'm just a city boy, you know what I mean? I enjoy nature on social media when someone takes a drone picture or something. Like, hey, that looks beautiful. I'll never go there, but that looks pretty cool, you know? But, some people enjoy hiking and stuff like that, I'd just rather not, I'm just saying, enjoying the simple things in life, okay? Not only that, but images are tattooed on the brain. They cannot be erased from your memory. So once you open that door to that image or that video or whatever it is, it stays imprinted in your brain. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And you have to understand something about the brain is that once it captures an image, once it sees something or hears something, you can do a lot of things to kind of suppress it and fill your mind with good things, but that image will always be there. It will always be there. And therefore, the fight to maintain or to keep that image from resurfacing, you have to fight a lot more. Okay? Here's another one. As far as the brain is concerned, destroying the body, it shrinks the brain. We say, what does that mean? Pornography makes you an idiot. It's true. It actually shrinks the brain. And in fact, when you look at the effects of alcohol in the brain, along with pornography in the brain, they're like the same exact thing. You look at a brain of an alcoholic and you compare it to a brain of a person who's been watching pornography, just binging on pornography, they wouldn't be able to tell you which one's different or not. Because they're the same exact thing. It's like you might as well just be an alcoholic. So imagine someone who's like involved in alcoholism and they're watching pornography. It shrinks the brain. It destroys your brain. It makes you a complete idiot. Not only that, but it brings their mind to a juvenile state of mind. What does that mean? Well, pornography makes you impulsive, emotional, and incapable of resisting. So that's why I was saying, like, a lot of people who watch pornography, they're just not people of character. Because they're given into their fleshly impulses. They just allow themselves to do so. They have no resistance. And let me say this. We as men, we have to learn how to resist. Discipline. Character. This is what we should be characterized by. We get up in the morning. We read the Word of God. We pray. We go to church. We love our families. We go to work. We make ourselves do things that we might not want to do, and that's called character. It's called discipline. And when Satan comes with the temptation, we resist temptation, we flee from the devil. But when you watch pornography, it lowers your ability to resist temptation, and it makes you like a juvenile. A juvenile is like a child. A child is just kind of always emotional, gives into their every whim. You're an adult. That you shouldn't be characterized by that. But this is what pornography does to you. It makes you emotional. And look, folks, we all have emotions, and sometimes emotions get the best of us, but we shouldn't always be emotional. Where you just look like you're about to have a mental breakdown every single week. You're just moody every single time you come to church. You're just always cranky when you come to church. You're just always moody, always sad. Your countenance is always fallen. Something wrong with that, my friends. Now, look, I'm not saying that you just gotta walk around like. But, folks, you know, there's something about the countenance, though. You know, and if you're always moody, you're always angry, you're always upset. By the way, anger and pornography, anger and lust always go hand in hand. You show me a person who can't control their temper, I'll show you a person who's probably involved in pornography. Because they often go hand in hand. A moody, emotional person who just lets their mouth fly and just say whatever comes to their mind, just very impulsive and impetuous, you find a person who's involved in pornography because pornography gives you a juvenile mind. What does that mean? You're like a kid. I'm not a kid. Don't call me a kid. Don't despise my youth. I despise your youth, if that's you. When the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, he's saying don't give people a reason to despise your youth. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, you tell those people not to despise your youth. When they despise you, say, don't despise my youth. It's telling young people not to give others a reason to despise their youth. So what does that mean? Grow up. What does that mean? Stop being emotional. Or you could just take care of it all and just not watch pornography. And then your mind can stop being a juvenile. It also leads to memory loss. Well, you know, let me read this to you. The problem is that porn consumers have wired their brain to get aroused by sitting alone in a room looking at virtual images rather than connecting. Oh, okay. Let me say this before I read this paragraph, okay? This is from that website. So what's the last thing that it destroys in your body? And I need to be very discreet and appropriate as I possibly can in this last statement. So I need you to pay attention and use common sense. Okay. Pornography destroys your ability, if you're married or you're going to get married, it destroys your ability to perform. And that's all I'm going to say. You cannot perform as a man with your spouse if you're watching pornography. Now, if the other reasons didn't get you, this one better. Because God created us in such a way that certain, you know, and look, I know I'm going late tonight, but you don't have to keep looking at the clock. I know what time it is, okay? And if you need to go ahead and get, okay? If you need to get out of here, go ahead and go get your dinner. Go do whatever you got to do. This is important. Amen. Okay. Amen. God's created our bodies in such a way to function a certain way. Okay. It's supposed to work, right? But the sin of pornography actually destroys that ability. So that when a person is constantly involved in pornography and they do get married or they are married, they're incapable of performing as a man, which is a shame. It's embarrassing. It's destructive. And that's why it also destroys your marriage. Because your wife expects for you to view them as someone who's attractive, but because you filled your mind with so much filth and junk, you're not able to. Let me read this. It says, the problem is that porn consumers have wired their brains to get aroused by sitting alone in a room looking at virtual images rather than connecting arousal to being with a real person. The word that they're using here, I'm not going to use it, are powered by chemicals in the brain's reward center that are released when a male sees, hears, smells, or feels something that gets him in that state of mind. The problem for porn consumers is that they've hijacked their reward center by using porn to get it to overload on these chemicals. As a result, the consumer's brain responds by cutting down on the amount of pleasure chemicals it produces and stops responding as well to the chemicals that are being released. It's like when you're standing next to a fire alarm that goes off, it's too much noise, so you cover your ears. That's what porn consumer brains are doing. When chemical levels are too high, the brain fights back by blocking some of the flood chemicals released. Okay? And so, you know, just know that. You want to continue in that? You want to live in this fantasy world that doesn't exist and destroy your mind and vex your spirit? Well, just know this. You're going to destroy your body and you're going to be less of a man because of it. Less of a man because of it. So let me finish off with this, okay? How do you regain what the Bible, how the Bible calls what the locusts have eaten? Because, you know, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've spent so many years watching pornography and it just like, it just destroyed me. But I want to do right from here on out. What do I do? Well, number one, feed the spirit. Amen. These are very practical, but I'm telling you, it works, okay? Feed the spirit. You see, watching pornography is a fleshly habit, right? And so the counter to that is that you have to feed the spirit and fill your mind with good things. Fill your mind with the Bible. Fill your mind with preaching. Fill your mind with godly music, you know, and set up safeguards in your life, even if they're extreme. If they have to be extreme, let it be extreme. If your phone is a source of temptation for you, then this is what you do. When you go home, you take your phone and you throw it in the field somewhere and say, I'll just find my iPhone tomorrow to go look for it. Like, nah, that's too much. Well, you know what? Then you're not serious about it then. Right. You're not serious about it. Right. If that phone is such a source of temptation for you, then you need to set up a plan of how you can remove that temptation from you so that you're not. Because you know what? You can say all you want, I love God, and I love the Bible, and I'm just going to quote verses with the phone right there. But you know what? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And eventually you're going to give in. So what you have to do, what God actually honors, is when you put away from yourself temptation. Amen. So you're not led into that sin. Okay? Number two, find accountability. Now this is very uncomfortable for a lot of people. But you need to get over yourself. Go to someone and say, hey, I struggle with that. I need your help. I just need someone to talk to. You know, someone who's older, by the way, and wiser. Don't go grab your buddy who's probably struggling with the same thing. Dude, you struggle? I struggle? You know? No, go to someone who's actually a man of discipline. Okay? Stop being like Rehoboam or whatever. And just constantly going to your friends for advice. Why don't you actually go, well, you know, he's older and godly or wiser. Why don't you actually go to a married man? You know, here's a very novel thought. If you want to succeed, go to someone who has succeeded in that area. Like, man, I want to get married, so I'm just going to ask my single friends, how do I get married or something? You know, it's just, well, if they're not, you know, if they didn't succeed, like, do they have a girlfriend? Did they, you know, go to someone who's actually succeeding in that area. You know, there's a lot of married men in our church, like, well, yeah, but it's kind of embarrassing. What do you mean? Grow up. Stop having the juvenile mind. Go to one of the men in the church, ask him for advice and say, can you hold me accountable to this particular thing? I'm very ashamed of it, and I'm embarrassed to even come to you. But let me say this, you know, where there's humility, that's where God exalts you. And so go to say, you know, I'm struggling, so I just need help. And so if you can keep me accountable, I really appreciate it. And again, don't just go to any Tom, Dick, and Harry in the church. Go to someone who's older and wiser, okay? But find accountability. Parents, don't give children easy access to the internet. And don't think your little Peabody wouldn't do everything that I just mentioned tonight. They have a sin nature. Don't just give them unfettered access to the internet. And lastly, I'm going to say this is, before I even get to that point, go work out.
Amen.
Go get some exercise. Go get a job.
Amen.
These are all important things to do because, you know, if you have enough, if you're just wasting all this time on the internet watching pornography, it's because you're too idle.
Yeah.
An idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Yep.
And so if you're idle, that means you're not working enough. Well, you know, I asked them to cut my hours so I can spend more time reading the Bible. Well, I guess that didn't work out now, did it? So why don't you go ahead and work overtime?
Yeah.
You can make more money. You'll be more tired. But then I'm so tired when I come home, I can't do anything. That's the point. Come home so tired, and if you're not tired enough, go get a freaking gym membership. Get your rear end to the gym. Go lift some weights and make your muscles tired so that when you get home, you go to sleep. And you know what happens? You not only get to have victory over that sin, you make gains too. You can actually get some muscle on your body and get strong, too. And now you have something that you get to accomplish in life. You get to distract your mind with these accomplishments and not be idle and surfing the internet and just always on whatever, watching whatever. You can actually exhaust your body, which is what you're supposed to be doing. And here's the great thing, my friend. Once you get married, don't change any of that. Keep working hard, keep going to the gym, and then you come home to your spouse, your wife. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just saying, that's what God's intention was. But if you're just like, well, you know, I just need this day off for me, I need me time. Your me time has turned into a sinful circus. You don't have enough discipline to have me time. You're not a person of character to have enough me time. You don't know how to treat me time. You don't know how to control yourself and put your body under subjection with all gravity. You apparently don't know how to handle that blessing yet.
Amen.
So why don't you fill your schedule and time with discipline, work, and laboring. And you know what? If you have a job that's not physically demanding, then you better go hit the gym.
Right.
You know, and go hike or whatever. Go hike, go lift weights. Go do some jujitsu. Got a jujitsu guy here. He can tell you all about that. Yeah, he'll put you to sleep. Vito, or go to your house and just put you to sleep real quick and just remove all temptation from you. But if you're on the internet constantly, you have too much time on your hands. And look, obviously we live in a day and age when we need the internet. We utilize the internet. But you know, some people don't have enough discipline to be on the internet. So if that's you, you need to fill your time with other things. Volunteer at the church or get a job and work 50 hours a week or whatever.
50 hours? 40 hours?
We were just talking about this earlier. It's like back when I was a young man, we wanted more. They would punish us by cutting our hours. We wanted to work more. Now people are just like, they want to work less hours. Bunch of weak, little sissified generation that just this little TikTok generation that doesn't know how to work, and that's why they're involved in all types of vices. Go hit a PR. And look, we got a gym at our church. You, Brother Ulysses and I are here throughout the week. You let us know. We'll open the door for you. You go lift some weights. Go do some deadlifts. Go throw out your back. And you throw out your back, you don't have to worry about doing any kind of sin because you're just going to be focusing on getting better or something. That's just too much. Okay, then, remain in that filthy sin. Destroy your mind, destroy your body, and destroy your marriage if you even get married one day. It's your choice. But here's the last thing is get a vision for your future marriage. Amen. Get a vision. Say, so you know what? Forget this nonsense. I'm not going to involve myself with pornography anymore. I want a wife. Amen. I want a wife. I want children. I want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I want to be able to enjoy that physical relationship with my wife. I want to be able to enjoy the simple things in life. I want to be able to just taste honey and enjoy it. I want to be able to just be happy. And you know what? People who are involved in pornography are not happy. They're some of the most depressed people in this world. Miserable, depressed, angry, self-gratifying little brats. It's true. You know, man, I can keep going on about that. But get a vision for your marriage. Okay? And stay pure until the altar. Yeah, but I don't have any girls that like me, and you know, well, that's because you're too socially awkward. That's why. Why don't you actually go talk to some people? Why don't you build up your game a little bit? Why don't you learn how to talk? You know why you can't get a girl to like you? Because you can't even get to even talk to a girl. That's why. Because you need to talk to a female in order to be put in a position where that female can actually like you. Words have to come out of your mouth. And no, I'm not talking about this either. I'm not talking about just going back and forth on this. I'm talking about your mouth. Where they're looking at your face, hands out of your pocket, looking into her eyes and talking to her. You're like, man, that's kind of hard. Then just forget about having a marriage or a family then, because you're going to have to do a lot more than that to have kids. Get a vision for your marriage. Say, you know what? Man, God has someone out there for me. There's someone for everyone, you know. God has someone out there, someone who's preparing as much as I am. And I don't want to destroy my marriage. My wife is worth, my future wife, even if I don't know her, is worth me putting in all this work to be the man of God that I need to be. She's worth it. Because you know what? She's apparently doing the same exact thing. She's keeping herself pure. She's making sure she's staying right with God. And so we need to make sure you have that vision, okay? And I know that's this is an unsavory sermon, but it's necessary, okay? And so I hope you give heed to this. Parents, give heed to this. Young men, give heed to this. Don't take this with a grain of salt. Don't let this be water off a duck's back. It's important, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the principles thereof, Lord, and help our church and those in our church and Christians in other churches gain victory over this wicked sin, Lord. And the goal here is to have godly marriages and marriages that are glorifying to you and honoring to you. And it's just to enjoy the Christian life. And I pray that, Lord, you would help the people in our church and in other churches, Lord, regain that joy, regain that enjoyment of just the basics. And help them to have victory over the sin. Help us to be a blessing to them. May they be humble enough to go to someone, to speak unto them, and to get the help that they need. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song number 119, Till the Storm Passes By, as our last song. Song number 119. Song number 119, sing it on that first verse. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe. till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I will rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and there's storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.